ministry this morning, and that was deeply appreciated. If you have your Bible this morning, and I'm sure it's on the screen as well, we're turning to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 37. I forgot to mention in our wee report, do pray for us. We're conducting a mission in Castle Dawson Presbyterian in the month of March. I know you're familiar with the Mullen brothers, John and Andrew, and over a two-week period, we'll have the privilege of conducting a mission with them in Castle Dawson. So do pray for that during the month of March. Jeremiah chapter 37, we're reading this morning from verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 11. Jeremiah 37, verse 11 says these words. And it came to pass when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army. Then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. When he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but I hearken not to him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him, and put him in the prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. For said he, Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land. Therefore hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, till all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. We know the Lord will bless this very interesting story from his precious word. Let's have another wee word of prayer this morning. Father, we come now to the preaching of your precious truth. I pray, Lord, for a fresh cleansing in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, for a fresh infilling of God the Holy Spirit. I pray that, Lord, you'll speak to every one of our hearts today, Lord. Pray that you'll go from seat to seat and from heart to heart. That, Lord, you would come by your Spirit this morning and bless the written word of God. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you know, on the journey of life, we encounter very many questions, important questions, individual questions, inescapable questions. Did you know that the Bible is also full of important questions? We have a wonderful question this morning in verse 17. It says, Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Here's the question, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. Jeremiah was a wonderful man of God. He was a man who was greatly used of God. Jeremiah was God's man with God's message in the day and generation in which he lived. Of course, Jeremiah's message wasn't always popular. In fact, at times, Jeremiah's message was anything but popular. But yet, here was a man who remained faithful to the task that God had called him to. Do you know, thinking about the life of Jeremiah this morning, I want us to consider, first of all, that Jeremiah was a courageous man. Jeremiah, the courageous man. But you know, as you study the life of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's courage didn't come from himself. His courage came from the Lord. You see, it was the Lord who had equipped Jeremiah for service. You see, in and of himself, Jeremiah wouldn't have lasted one day, one week, one month, one year serving in the Lord. And if you study the life of Jeremiah, and it's worthy of a study, and if you consider the life of Jeremiah, you'll realize here was a man who had no confidence in himself. In fact, he owned up to the fact that he saw himself as someone without any real natural gifts, someone without any real natural talents, without any real natural ability. During the first chapter of Jeremiah, we have the Lord calling Jeremiah to his work, to full-time service. Let me read you these words. The Lord said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5, listen to the words of Scripture. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That would be a good verse for those who seek to promote abortion in our land, wouldn't it? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. But you know what Jeremiah's reply was? Listen to this. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Lord, I'm just like a little child. His courage came from the Lord. Here's the challenge this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in a day and in a generation where the Church of Jesus Christ needs more Jeremiahs. We need courageous men and courageous women for Jesus Christ. What the Church of Jesus Christ today needs, listen up, we need men and women who speak up for the truth, men and women who speak up for the Lord, men and women who are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. The hymn writer put it like this: I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. You know, sometimes we don't feel up to the task, or we don't. Lord, send someone else to witness to my family about Jesus Christ. But Lord, don't be sending me. Lord, send someone else to speak to my neighbors, to speak about to my work colleagues about Jesus Christ. But Lord, don't ask me to do it. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Perhaps we should pray over it this morning. As for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador on bonds, that there I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Tell you this morning, as we think about this great work of evangelizing, this great work of winning souls for Jesus, I tell you, surely it's no accident that God has placed you in the family that you belong to. Surely it's no accident that God has placed you in the employment that you work in. Surely it's no accident that God has placed you among the neighbors that you live among. And I tell you, time's running out. Jeremiah, the courageous man. Oh, we all need courage this morning to live and to serve the Lord. We all need courage to buy up every opportunity to speak boldly for Jesus. But not only was Jeremiah the courageous man, but something else. We can see Jeremiah the concerned man. Jeremiah the concerned man. You see, here was a man who was concerned about his nation. He was deeply concerned about the journey of travel that his nation was on. You see, this nation of Israel was going further and further and further away from God. You see, Israel had been a blessed nation. Israel had a blessed heritage. God had been good to his ancient people, but now they were away from God. Jeremiah was concerned about that. Jeremiah was deeply concerned. You know, we see something of Jeremiah's concern in chapter 5 of Jeremiah. Let me read these words of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. Jeremiah said, listen to this. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Listen to this. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. They have made their faces harder than a rock. they have refused to return. Isn't Jeremiah's day just like our day? Isn't Jeremiah's day just like our province? Isn't it just like our own city? Isn't it just like the town of Ballymoney? I tell you today, God has been good to this province. God has been good to Ulster. Perhaps there's more gospel preaching churches, more gospel preaching mission halls, more gospel preachers than any other place on this planet. But many have become hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Many have turned away. You know what we often hear today, don't we? We don't want God's salvation. We don't want it rammed down our throat. I tell you, perhaps our province is under the judgment of God. It's time to get back to God. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Jeremiah was concerned about that. Jeremiah was deeply concerned. Here's a challenge this morning. Are you concerned about your family that's outside of Jesus Christ? Are you concerned about your neighbors that are not saved? Are you concerned about your work colleagues that you spend day after day after day with? And they're not trusting in Christ. Jeremiah was deeply concerned. Soon the season of rescue will be over. Soon they will drift to eternity shore. He said, my brother, no time for delay. Throw out the lifeline and save them today. Jeremiah, the courageous man. Jeremiah, the concerned man. Something else this morning. Jeremiah, the compassionate man. Jeremiah, the compassionate man. You see, if you study the life of Jeremiah, you'll not be too many chapters into that great book where you'll see a man of deep compassion. You know, the theologians and the commentators called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. Why is that? Because here was a man who cried for souls, and here was a man who cried after souls. He cried about men and women to get right with God. He didn't want to see people lost. He didn't want to see people without God and without hope. Do you know we see something of Jeremiah's compassion in chapter 13? Let me read these words of scripture, Jeremiah 13 and 17. Jeremiah's compassion. This is what Jeremiah said. If you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Here's a challenge this morning. When's the last time in prayer that we have wept over lost souls in Ballymoney or wherever you're from this morning? When's the last time I have wept over souls that are not saved in Ballybean? When's the last time that we have cried over loved ones who are still not saved? You see, if we're ever to see the town of Ballymoney turned upside down, inside out for Jesus Christ, if we're ever to see the estate of Ballybean won for Jesus Christ, I tell you this morning, we need compassion. Compassion. We need the compassion of Jesus. You see, today there's so many broken lives, so many broken homes, so many broken families, and they've got no God, and they've got no hope. I wonder, does that disturb you this morning? Do you know when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this scene of time? I wonder if you ever thought about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he was always in demand. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Jesus Christ was always in demand. Young people flocked around the Savior. Children ran to him. Children even sat on his knee. Older people ran to him. There was always that magnetic pull to Christ. He always drew people to him. I wonder why that was. Why did people run to Jesus? I tell you why they run to Jesus, because they realized that Jesus cared. And they knew that Jesus cared. And they saw someone here while he was here on earth as someone who was marked with compassion. You know, we see something of Christ's compassion in Matthew 9. I've always, quite often, prayed over this verse in my ministry. Matthew 9:36, listen to these words concerning Christ. But when he saw the multitudes, listen to this, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mary and Kate Jackson were full-time workers in the faith, or in the Salvation Army. And you know, they were involved in the Salvation Army in the very early days of that ministry. They worked under the great general, William Booth. And those two sisters were missionaries just outside the city of London. Two sisters serving faithfully the Lord. And you know, those two sisters, Kate and Mary, they labored for the Lord for 2 full years. And even though they preached Christ, even though they were witnessing for Christ, even though they were so faithful and discharging their duties, but nothing was happening. No one was getting saved. In fact, oftentimes it felt as if things were going the other way. Do you know, in their desperation, they wrote a letter to General William Booth. This is what they said. Would you kindly move us to another mission hall? To another missionary station. We're so tired. We're so disheartened. We've been taught everything that we've been taught to do. We've tried everything. Please move us to another hall. Please move us to another area. Do you know, you can imagine the thoughts that were going through General William Booth, the leader of the Salvation Army, as he read this letter. He said to himself, what will I send back to these two sisters? And he sent a telegram back to the two sisters with just 2 words. Listen to this. This is what he wrote. This was the solution for the work of God in London. 2 words. Try tears. Try tears. I tell you, those sisters got fresh compassion for Christ. Fresh compassion for the lost souls of London. You know, they started to pray, not just ordinary praying, persistent praying, fervent praying, compassionate praying. I wonder this morning, is the Lord speaking to your heart this morning to get to the place of prayer, to be a prayer warrior for the souls in Ballymoney? You know, Leonard Ravenhill was a mighty man of God. If you want a good book in prayer, buy one of Leonard Ravenhill's books. This is what he said, and I quote him. He says, the road to revival is often paved with tears and brokenness. Isn't that a good quote? The road to revival is often paved with tears and brokenness. Jeremiah the courageous man, Jeremiah the concerned man, Jeremiah the compassionate man. You know, this morning, if you still have your Bible open in Jeremiah chapter 37, when we had our reading this morning, Jeremiah is now in prison. In fact, Jeremiah is now in a dungeon experience in his life. It was dark, it was dismal, it was dangerous. I'm sure Jeremiah was distressed. I'm sure even Jeremiah perhaps was depressed. But you know, God was with him. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer this morning that needs encouragement. Maybe you're going through dark periods in your life. Thank God the Word of God says he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Do you know, this wasn't the first time that Jeremiah was in prison. He'd been here before. But you know, how do we cope when we go through dark periods in our life just like Jeremiah? You know, there are many times in the journey of life when we have dungeon experiences just like Jeremiah. Many times when we have valley experiences, many times when we feel we're in a dark hole and there's no way out. Maybe that's you this morning. Jeremiah was in a dungeon experience. And humanly speaking, there was no way out. We see something of Jeremiah's dungeon experience. If you have your Bible open, verse 16 of 37, it says, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, it says Jeremiah remained there many days. Do you know, I wonder how Jeremiah felt as day after day, week after week, perhaps year after year, he remained in that dungeon. I wonder, did Jeremiah say, like so many Christians, and we've all been there, haven't we? Why me, Lord? Why me? Lord, why is this happening to me in my life? I've been so faithful to you, Lord. I brought up my family in the things of God. Lord, I've been so faithful to you and to the church. Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why am I going through this difficult time in my life? Maybe your dungeon experience this morning could be sickness, could be bad news from the doctor. Maybe your dungeon experience could be bereavement. We've already prayed for the bereaved this morning. Maybe your dungeon experience this morning could be a family that's went astray. Maybe your dungeon experience could be a family betrayal. Maybe your dungeon experience could be an emotional wound that you have carried for many years. You're in a dark situation this morning. You say, Joseph, is there any way out for me this morning? Do you know in Jeremiah's life, God was working? Do you know when man's extremity is often God's opportunity? And while Jeremiah was in this dungeon, God was working. You know, there's a verse in Romans I've often prayed over. I'm sure you have too. Listen to this. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And you know, in Jeremiah's life, God used the most unlikely person in his life to bring him help. God used the ungodly king Zedekiah. Verse 17 of chapter 37 says, Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. Took him out of the dungeon. Maybe that dungeon experience that you're experiencing, child of God, this morning, God's going to take you out very soon. There's going to be a light at the end of your tunnel. But you know, in verse 17, I'll always be finished this morning. King Zedekiah asks this profound question we started with. Is there any word from the Lord? Is there any word from the Lord? Do you know when I speak at the meetings in Ballybean, and I speak around the country as well, Presbyterian churches and others, I'm always very conscious that in an audience there's perhaps three types of people. I'm sure there's three types of people here this morning. Perhaps there's those this morning and you're not saved. You're not a Christian this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you know you're not saved. And you say this morning, is there any word from the Lord for me? I'm not a Christian, Joseph. Is there any word from the Lord for me? Thank God there is. Listen to this morning. You say, is there any hope for me? Do you know what the Bible says? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I tell you the gospel message, it even gets better than that. Listen to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But you know, this morning with God's sovereignty always comes man's responsibility. And the Bible says these words, it is time to seek the Lord. You see, there's always an urgency in being saved. And you know, this morning as you've gathered in church and if you're not a Christian, this morning could be your opportunity to get that matter settled. This could be your opportunity to get right with God, to trust Christ as your Savior, to have your sins forgiven. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. You say this morning, would Jesus save me? You know what the Bible says? For as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Do you know, just about 8 months ago, I took a funeral in Ballybean Estate. It was a husband of a lady that came to her hall. He made it in time. He got saved. And he passed away 8 months ago. His name is Hugh. And he died of that awful disease of cancer. And do you know, just shortly after Hugh passed away, his 51-year-old daughter got terrible news that she also was terminally ill. We were able to walk with that girl and journey with that lady over the last 8 months. But you know, we had her funeral just about 2 weeks ago in Ballybean. And you know, we had witnessed to this lady over the last, this 51-year-old lady over the last 8 months. Many times we visited her in the hospital, at home, and even in the hospice. But you know, just about 2 months ago, I got a call from her family to go and see her. This is what she said. Joseph, I want you to come to the Ulster Hospital to see me. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid to die. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I want you to come and to show me how I can know with a surety that I'm going to heaven. The Ulster Hospital, I don't know if you've ever been in it, it's the most complicated place to walk about. I don't think there's ever been a time in the Ulster Hospital, I'm there many times, I don't get lost. And there's a new part in that Ulster Hospital, I don't know if anybody's been ever saved there before, but there's a lady saved that night in the Ulster Hospital. She put her hand into the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. Do you know, when she was saved that night, I said to her, you know, Jacqueline, you need to confess Christ. People need to know that you're a Christian now. You know, she started to witness to the doctors. She started to tell the nurses. She started to tell anybody that came to see her. She even put it on Facebook that she came to Christ and she was on her way to heaven. You know, that lady perhaps witnessed for Christ to more people over 2 months than many Christians do for a whole year. Do you know, at our funeral service, a couple of weeks ago, we were able to tell that story. You know, when we went to the graveside, it's always a solemn thing, time when we go to the graveside. You know, I was saying we were here 8 months ago, we're here 8 months later, and I says, I wonder whose funeral it'll be the next time that we're here. You know, there's a lady at that funeral says, I want you to come and talk to me. She says, because I realize I need to be saved too. And you know, it's no secret what God can do. And what he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do. Is there any word from the Lord for the unsaved today? Thank God there is. But there's another group of people perhaps here this morning. Perhaps you would be called a backslider. You say, well, Joseph, what do you mean by that? Maybe there's been a time in your life when you used to love the Lord. Maybe you used to follow the Lord. Maybe you made a profession of faith. Maybe the boys' brigade or the girls' brigade. Maybe you followed the Lord. But you know, this morning, you know your heart's maybe afar off this morning. You say, Joseph, I don't love the Lord the way I used to. Is there any word from the Lord this morning? You know, this country's full of backsliders. Every day not lived for Jesus is a wasted day. And every week not lived for Jesus is a wasted week. Every year not lived for Jesus is a wasted year. Do you know, Jeremiah had some wonderful words of comfort for the backslider. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Listen to this. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you. Jeremiah 3, verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Thank God this morning there's hope for the backslider. Often think about that story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Remember the prodigal son, he went into the far country and it said he came to himself. It says when he spent all, he began to be in want. Maybe that's you this morning, you've spent all. You've tried everything. You've said, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the water's failing. But you know, those of us who are saved today, we can say, but none but Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus found for me. But you know, there's a third group of individuals here this morning. You say, Joseph, I'm a Christian. The going's tough. I tell you, it's never easy to be a Christian at times. Sure, it's not. You say, Joseph, is there any word from the lead for me this morning? Do you know, I've thought about perhaps one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. I want to leave it with you, and I'll soon be finished. John chapter 10, verse 28. I don't know if you underline verses in your Bible. This would be a good one to underline. John chapter 10, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that an encouraging verse? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I tell you, even though we may go through the worst in life, even though the journey of life may throw the worst at us, I tell you, when we know that we're going to heaven, I tell you, we can face the storms. All this morning, the Christian life's the best life. The Christian life is the only life. The Christian life is eternal life. And Jesus alone is the giver. Thank God this morning, those of us who are Christians, we're saved for all of God's eternity. You know, the hymn writer put it like this, when we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. But you know, 1 million years from now, we'll still be around the throne, won't we, child of God? And we'll be singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God's salvation is the most wonderful thing we could ever experience. Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, fellowship with God, a home in heaven. Oh, thank God this morning for his wonderful salvation. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the challenge of your word. We pray this morning that you'll make us all courageous men and women like Jeremiah. That, Lord, you'll make us all concerned men like Jeremiah. Oh, Father, we just pray, Lord, that if we're not saved this morning, we'll listen to that word from the Lord. Now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Father, bless our hearts now as we sing our closing hymn. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.